833-4218.
And hello, welcome to the Diabetic Show. My name's Mark Philwitt, proud type 1 since 1987. I'm sitting kind of alongside of me.
Representing type 2, my name is Dobie Maxwell, riding sidecar, the Robin to your Batman.
It's always a pleasure, Dobie.
It is a pleasure. This is a fun show. We'll be getting word on the streets as, you know what, we never heard about this on the radio until you guys got on the air. So we appreciate that.
I like that. Word on the street.
Word on the street.
Yeah. Water cooler, definitely. Okay, here's the thing, though. Before we even start, I got to break format.
Okay.
We're riding on the edge anyway. Uh-huh. And, you know, David Cole, general manager, possible owner of the radio station, we're not quite sure. He can come in here at any time and end it. So let's break format.
Okay.
You're giving out a book. You wrote a book. Now, I don't want to go through the specifics, but you are a publisher now. You are published, and you're going to have a book signing.
I'm not a publisher. I'm a publishee. If you're just listening, I do stand-up comedy by trade. I've been doing it since 1985. And the book is called Monkey in the Middle, My Best Friend Since We're Little Kids, who is not a diabetic, by the way. He robbed a bank that he used to work at, and he robbed it twice. And he decided that he was going to blame one of the robberies on yours truly. I had to wear a wire for the government. I'm not wearing one today. And he had to confess that he did it, and I sent him to prison for 6.5 years.
Don't give the law any more than that.
No, that's enough. And okay. It's 400 pages of that. Not one diabetic. Nobody shoots up any sugar, nothing like that. Our blood glucose levels are fine the whole time the banks are robbed, and no animals were hurt in the production of this production.
Where is the signing and when?
This is going to be March 14th at Zany's Comedy Club in Chicago. We'll also get one in Milwaukee at some point. I'll do one in Kenosha. I'll anywhere, wherever it takes.
Very good, Dobie. Okay.
Thank you for the plug.
Now we move to the diabetic news, which also, for some reason, features you. Hard to go here.
Am I the poster child for
this
hypoglycemia this month?
Being a proud type 2, as sometimes you are.
I'm not very proud. I'm ashamed of type 2. All the brownies that I ate in school when I should have been having Brussels sprouts.
Scientists.
My Aunt Charlene, dead as a doornail, as she well should be, said, "You're eating too many sweets. You're going to get diabetes someday."
Was she?
No, she got hit by a truck.
Scientists.
And her blood sugar was fine. Can I finish my point, please? The point is, type 2 is sneaking up on everybody. You're a type 1. They're going to haul you off and cut off your limbs. I get that. Type 2, that's why we're here. Donna Swanson will be out, a real expert, in just a few minutes, and to help us. See, that's the thing, the whole show is type 1 versus type 2. It's not a wrestling match. It's a disease.
That is true. Donna Swanson will be along. Actually, the entire program will. It will be a nutritionally based program. With
finish the story.
A1C.
Chet Huntley.
My turn?
Yes, it is.
Scientists believe they have the anti-aging medicine right here in their hands.
They do.
Metformin.
Metformin?
Are you familiar with it? It's a diabetic.
Did he play for the Brewers in 78?
According to the Daily Telegraph, and this is from Europe, which means it's classier than our newspapers.
Okay.
The world's first anti-aging drug will be tested on humans in this spring in trials. Yeah, they're using metformin as a main component of this anti-aging cocktail, sir.
Okay. Is it a pill? Is it a drink? A cocktail?
Well, basically what it's going to be is... I should have really read this before the show.
Do you sprinkle it on pizza? What is it?
You take metformin. That literally what they're
saying
pill? Here. The pill metformin. Basically, Belgian researchers, they've tried and tested metformin on worms. And radio.
I can't tell you how many aging worms I find in my sidewalk.
I was going to say, there's a lot of people
I
we
see
know.
These wrinkled up, crawling slow worms with their blinker on, saying, "You kids, get off my lawn."
Only does metformin slow down the aging process in worms and mice, they also stayed healthier longer. Now, how you would know a worm is healthy long? Well, this is what Belgians are saying. When's the last time a Belgian lied to you? So this is the situation. According to National Geographic, now there's somebody closer to home that we can deal with here.
Uh-huh.
Council of Aging. They're saying this is a possibility that it will work. They don't know why. I mean, I'm reading it here. It doesn't say exactly why, but you want to know. They're saying if it does work, like they think it's going to work, along the lines of, say, the mice and the worms.
Uh-huh.
We could expect to live 110, 120 years old.
Oh, this is disturbing, Mark. It really is.
Now, why would you say, well, of all the words?
Because I'm circling the drain now and pretty happy that I'm closer to the end than at the beginning.
Mm.
And 110 years old, I mean, how many How many more idiots do we have to prolong the agony?
Well, here's the thing.
We need less people, not more.
The scientists think that this could work. A lot. The ones who are in this study, they're referring to a DNA blueprint. It could just keep recreating forever and ever. It has to do with cell duplication.
We'll get Don out here in a second. But, I mean, the cell duplication, they've had some kind of a petri dish where cells have been reproducing from chickens, I believe, since 1948, something like that.
See? So the whole point of it is, I've got some facts here. I guess that would help with the story.
Distort the truth. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, what they're calling the diabetes drug for type 2, and it is. It's very inexpensive, especially with other drugs out
there. Not for long, it won't be.
But here's what metformin does, according to this article. It increases the number of oxygen molecules released into a cell. That way it appears to boost robustness and longevity. So, okay.
It's Viagra for the blood.
Today, somebody born, a boy, 78, almost 79 years old, 78.8, and a girl born today, 82.8. You still got that spread between men and women. So,
you know why men die first? They want to.
We need a rum tum. We'll work on
that's
this.
An old joke. That's a borscht belt joke.
Well, we're old. Okay, what else have we had here? And this is where we'll probably have to bring Donna in. This has been headline news for type 1s. And actually, it's a two-parter. And how are we doing, Troy? We're getting there. I haven't even been looking at you. I'm sorry. Okay, he's giving me that one-minute finger, I'm assuming. So what we'll do
That's not a one-minute finger he's giving you.
Let's at least talk. We'll give the headline of it. Because it apparently, you don't want to use the word cure. I've heard and seen two different words about this story about Johnson & Johnson. They're coming into it with another, I think it's, Viacyte or Viacyte, which is a company that does diabetes, I'm sure, testing trials of some kind. And Johnson & Johnson, very big in the industry, trying to fix this for a number of years. They're getting together, and they think they have, they're calling it a fix and not a cure.
Well, let's get to the bottom of this just a little bit.
That's where the break comes in. So hopefully we'll have some music playing sooner or later, and we'll come back on the other side of things, and we'll be talking with Donna Swanson about that. Oh, and we've got diets to talk about. This is a very robust diabetic show.
Hide the cookies. The expert's coming out.
Back to the Diabetic Show. Mark Philwett.
Dobie Maxwell.
And we thank you for being along with us today. Diabetic Show, we talked at the break. We ran out of time for news, diabetic news, which in a properly formatted show should be just the first part.
DNN, Diabetic News Network.
But apparently we're off. We're going rogue for the entire show. This next bit of news, we have to bring in our guest, which we were going to talk about something kind of like this, but then kind of like that's what happens when you go
on. She was getting a pedicure in our soundproof guest room.
We would like to welcome our guest from the United Hospital System again, Donna Swanson.
Hi, guys. Already. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Donna. You know, it's so funny because people come to you, I heard your show. That woman knows what she's talking about. Why are you two idiots on the air? So thanks for being back and give us credibility.
See, you're too kind.
We appreciate you.
I missed that part. I was tuned out after.
No, I was here. I had the pulse of the listeners.
Yeah, okay. Well, the story, which is it made all the news, all the outlets. I'll read what I've got here. You correct where necessary, or maybe focus a little better, because I'm all over the place, Donna. The article is referring to Johnson & Johnson and Viacyte teaming up to it's a type 1 diabetes. They keep using cure. I see cure here. They're already testing people on it. Basically, what they're doing is they're combining their knowledge, these two companies, which kind of throws me off. Why doesn't everybody combine their knowledge and focus on?
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, so we got one of those. Okay, yeah, our program's better than your. Okay. Well, here's the thing, and you've heard about the embryonic stem cells. I mean, what they grow ears on mice. I don't quite understand the science behind the science, but it's mighty futuristic as far as where we're going from here. And it's not just diabetes, but it seems like they might have found something here. Okay, but here's what it says. Okay, they have these embryonic stem cells in a lab dish. They turn them into insulin-producing cells and then or whatever sound would go to put that into the body. Actually, they're putting it into a small capsule this time. And that's the key. They're putting it in a capsule or something that protects it. And then they're putting it under the skin. And then it's released as necessary, or and it acts like a pancreas.
Yes, that's my understanding of it as well.
Okay, now, and we've talked about, I kind of threw this at when I first heard this. I'm like, Donna, we're canceling the show. And he's like, sure.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, but apparently, it might be a little stickier than the headline presumes to be.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. What's your feelings when you first heard this story?
So when I first heard this, I didn't jump for joy right away, only because if you live with diabetes or you have loved ones that are affected by diabetes, you've heard this before.
Yes.
And so my knee jerk was, I want to see the research. I want to see what's out there. So I took the time to do this or to look at it a little bit more closely, and I'm still not, I haven't seen all of it yet. But I think I saw enough to think that it is very hopeful, very promising. It looks like good, sound research. They've been working on it for over 10 years. And what my understanding of what they've done is this Viacite company out in California. I believe the study's going on in San Diego. And they did the first phase of trials in animals and humans and have been successful. And what they've done is exactly as you've accurately described. They take they took embryonic stem cells and replicated them in the lab and turned them into functioning beta cells, basically. And those are the cells in the pancreas that are responsible for making insulin. And they encapsulated them in this, I think they described it like a, in one of the videos that I saw of the founder of the company, doctor that started this research, I'm struggling with his name right now, but he had described it as thinking of it like a tea bag. It's encapsulated so that and then it's implanted in the patient, and so they have functioning beta cells that your own body can regulate and respond. So when blood sugar starts to elevate, this encapsulated tea bag will release insulin in response to elevating blood sugars, just much like your body would naturally. Now, my understanding is that this encapsulation is what prevents, in type 1, we all know that that's an autoimmune disease, and the T cells of our immune system are what cause that constant destruction of beta cells.
See, that was your first comment.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds good. It looks good on paper, but...
So does communism.
Socialism.
Thank you, Bernie Sanders.
Communism is what... Forget it. It's a wrong show. Okay. But the situation would be just that. It looks good, but it's not quite all the way to the beginning of what is the diabetic. And the way you describe it, let's just say it was the very day before you're a diabetic. Mm-hmm. Your pancreas secretes the insulin. Insulin goes about looking for glucose to go bust up and turn into energy and whatever the heck goes on after that. But the minute it's released, the day you become a diabetic, that's when the T cells come into play. The good guys on paper, mm-hmm. again, that are supposed to kill all those bad things, you know, like viruses, bacteria, but they look at that insulin cell as a bad thing all of a sudden, destroying that.
Correct.
So, okay, then there's the follow-up. You have this implanted.
Yes.
It releases the insulin. What's the T cell? Isn't the T cell going to go for it?
Well, yes, that was my knee-jerk, too. And according to the videos that I saw from the founder of this company today, he had said that the idea behind it is that this encapsulation separates the cells so the T cells cannot destruct the beta cells that are formed and encapsulated. But in this encapsulation, those beta cells can release insulin. They can accept nutrients. They can accept oxygen.
It's a two-way system.
Yes, but it separates the cells. So that's why I find it very interesting. I think it's great research. It's great news for type 1 diabetics around the country, around the world. I think it's very exciting. But, you know, it's like all research. It's going to take a little bit of time. What I was very interested in finding out, and I still don't have an answer, so we're going to probably have to bring this up in another show in the future. But is how often these have to be, and I'm sure there's probably a listener that's already found this answer, but how often these have to be replaced? I don't know the answer to that.
And how cumbersome. Yeah. Is it
well, it is a surgical, it's a surgical procedure from what I saw.
Yeah,
so it'll be interesting.
Pardon my cynicism, Donna, but who follow the money in a situation like this? Mm-hmm. Who stands to profit from this and who controls it? Is it patented, something you can patent?
I'm sure it'll be patented.
Oh, sure.
It probably, I would think that the word wouldn't get out in the media if it wasn't patented by somebody already. I got to believe that.
Oh,
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I agree. I don't know the details or specifics behind that, but I'm sure that there's going to be.
Well, the whole industry, what do they say, 34, 43 billion? It's a huge number when it comes to all the medicines. Diabetes is one heck of an economic engine.
It is.
Yeah, it gets you all the way through.
But, you know, in thinking about it, too, this is a potential cure. And I think the way he described it, the founder of this company, and I apologize because I can't think of his name, but it's the president of the Viacite company. And I want to say he had a nice Italian name or French name. I just
Bob Viacite.
Yeah, I just can't think of it. So I will correct that in a future show. Because I think it's awesome research, and I think he did a wonderful job with it. But we're talking potential cure. He accurately described it as a treatment cure, I think, not as a – I mean, it's not like the autoimmunity is going to go away. Basically, what it is, it's a better treatment. Patients, what it would give somebody with type 1 is the ability to not have to inject insulin, not have to test their blood sugar. I mean, you think about the life-altering effects of that is just incredible.
Yes.
And when you look at the financial end of things, too, it is a huge money-making industry.
Mm-hmm.
Type 2 is predominantly 90% of our diabetic population. So
yes.
I think however it plays out politically and financially.
And if you can invent a type 3, you'll be in business.
We may have one of those out there.
And also, what you were saying, though, because here I am thinking as a type 1 diabetic, boy, you know, what if I just get hit right there with unless there people could stand in line, you know, wanting to do that. So I tell you what, let's take the break.
Hold that thought.
Okay, and we'll finish that up. And then, boy, it looks like we're just going to have a newsy show.
We'll have to make it part 2.
That's an idea.
Uh-huh.
We'll take the break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Johnson & Johnson and Vitasite breakthrough. Also, there might be a cure. But then again, that's the tease that will hold you through this.
Bring out the hot fudge. We'll be right back.
The Diabetic Show. Welcome back to the third segment of the Diabetic Show. Mark Phil Wendt, type 1.
Toby Maxwell, type 2.
Before we move along, the self-promotion, we need better. We do.
Okay.
The website. When's the last time we talked? We haven't talked. Well, we don't have a website yet. Maybe that's possibly why. But it's getting there.
It's up our web guy, the Lake County Geeks.
Oh, they're great folks.
They're great folks over there. They have taken on the job of giving us a website so people could come and email back and forth. Now,
emails work. That would be Mark with a K at thediabeticshow.com.
Dobie, D-O-B-I-E, at thediabeticshow.com.
Or any other questions?
And I already got an email from a Nigerian prince who has pledged to have $15 million for this show to finance it. If Donna will go to agree to be his mail order bride in Nigeria.
You know, if there's a way I could work something in the middle, you know, so I could, but hey.
A broker.
A broker. What an idea. Okay. Yeah, the website. We got the emails. But yeah, thediabeticshow.com. It will be there. And the best part about it is it's not going to be things that we write per se. We'll write some things on there. But it'll mainly be, I found in life, in the 70s, if they would have had cut and paste, oh, would my GPA been better? But the point of it is, that's what we're going to be doing on the website.
You got to crawl before you walk, before you run. We appreciate you coming in from the ground floor if you're listening to us. We're going to get better every week. And professionals like Donna and other guests we have are going to make us sound smart.
That's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
So be looking for that. The cutting and the pasting, all the news-driven articles will you know, give the right people the credits.
We got a big story this week we're in the middle of.
That is true. Good lead. let's finish up with the Johnson & Johnson, because my point is I've got this sack in this tea bag in my body, and I'm just going along my natural day, and then just somebody for no reason, you know how they get in Starbucks, just turns around, just pops him one in the gut. Now I'm imagining a lot of this testing and trials are going to be, I'm sure they've tried this out. I mean, there's got to be, you know, thresholds of.
I believe that that's a very good point. And I believe that from what I saw so far, the efficacy, though they have very strong research already from what I've seen, the efficacy is the next phase of trials that it'll be going through. And from what I saw, the physician that I was speaking of earlier is, I better give him the proper credit due, Kevin D'Amore. From Viacite.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
That's who I thought it was, but I didn't want to make you look
bad.
I
knew that name was really catchy, and it was just escaping me. But anyway, yeah, so Dr. Kevin D'Amore had described it as the first two phases complete, but the second phase focuses more on efficacy, placement, site location, all of those sort of things.
So, and to interrupt you, different people have it in different parts of the body?
Yes, so it can be, from what I understand, it can be implanted anywhere. Hmm. So I instantly got this envision because he said in one of the videos that I saw was the size of a credit card and about as thin as one as well. So
yes.
It's not very big, but, you know, the size of a credit card, I mean, that's somewhat sizey, but I instantly thought back to these implantable devices, Depot and things like that women used to get, you know, birth control in their arm, and you'd see it look like a size of a half dollar in their arm, and it was like a stick-like looking thing. So I got this instant mental picture of something like that looking like the outline of a credit card on somebody. But, you know, I'm hopeful that it's going to be a little
flex or something.
You swipe it at the gas station.
It's going to be a little more durable, and but either way, it's going to be a whole lot more. I mean, from what I've seen, it looks like it's very exciting, and that it'll be a little bit more aesthetically appealing because it won't be a device that's worn out exteriorly. It'll be implanted surgically. But I just, you know, I'm so curious. I don't know if that's something that's going to have to be replaced. You know, right now, he did mention something about dosing, too, which I found was interesting because you don't dose. It didn't sound like something you would dose. It's beta cells implanted. So
okay, now explain the word dose.
You got to uno before you dose.
Yes. So what I understand is like everybody, okay, so this person needs this many beta cells, so it's more quantity.
Right.
Versus a set dose. So maybe dosing was not a proper term to say, but it was brought up in the video that way. So I thought it was really interesting.
Sure.
But not everybody, from what I understand, may not require the same amount transplanted or, you know, implanted.
That makes perfect sense.
But, yeah, so like when we think of type 2, if somebody's been type 2 for a number of years, when somebody's initially diagnosed, we know that they've lost 70 to 80% of their beta cell function.
Yes.
So if you think of it that way, with somebody with type 1, let's say they've lost 95%, it's just not enough, or maybe 99%. So they have to have X number of beta cells.
Yeah.
Put in. So it's really exciting. It's really neat.
Well, for me, it's not just this, but we talked last time we spoke about the Dexcom.
Yes, yes.
G4 are they up to now?
They have a G5 out now.
Oh, see what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
but that is, well, for lack of a, it's an external pancreas or blood monitoring. Is it blood monitoring?
It's a continuous glucose
monitor, CGM.
Yep.
Wow, I'm getting better with the acronyms. But it's things are just moving. Mm-hmm. They seem to be moving faster now than they ever have been.
Yes.
True.
Yes, I agree. I think, you know, it's never a good time to be diagnosed with diabetes. But if you have the choice of being diagnosed 50 years ago or today, take today. If you have a choice between today and 10 years from now, obviously 10 years from now is going to be. But, you know, it's just exciting that the progress is being made. There's lots of people out there that care deeply about diabetes, lots of researchers and scientists. JDRF is a great advocate. They dump a ton of money. They have a ton of people fundraising year-round, round the clock, to bring those research dollars.
Is there JDRF.com? A lot of information.
Yep.
There.
And the American
Is that .org or .com? That's a .com?
I think it's both. I think they bought it up. But,
okay.
Yeah, that's a Juvenile Diabetes Research, and They're the ones.
They're huge into research, yep. And the American Diabetes Association as well. I mean, they both just are amazing at what they do as far as making the quality of life. And right now, though, even with all this exciting research, there's no time like the present to make sure that we stay in good health and manage it, because we have methods and treatment for managing diabetes, whether you're type 1 or type 2, that keep us in the optimal health so that when these treatments and potential cures do come along, that we aren't already at risk for or having these complications. So we want to take care of our bodies in the meantime. We don't want to be holding out for
it. All boils down to that. You take the magic pill,
right,
then you never exercise again, and you drink gravy as a beverage.
Oh, gravy. Yes.
With sugar in it.
Yes, I agree.
But it's true. The work part always comes, and I think it's easy. People want to take the pill and just not do any kind of maintenance, would you think?
Oh, absolutely. It'd be nice if our bodies function that way, but it's, you know, unfortunately, we can't change the way our metabolisms are designed to metabolize, and the burden is on us to take care of our bodies and make sure that we're doing what we can to make them run optimally.
I'm going to blame God.
Oh my,
he made the body. It's like he's given us the body of a Ford Pinto.
Okay, you know?
How about a Lamborghini?
The email address is Dobie, D-O-B-I-E,
at thediabeticshow.com.
Okay. How much time we have left? Only that's it? Donna,
we're
you're
flying
so good.
By.
My God. Okay, we have to hit this in a minute. No, we're not going to hit this in a minute. We'll save this to the next. We'll save it to the next. This is a two-parter, as you say, Dobie.
Like Batman. Same diabetic time, same diabetic channel.
I wish there was something I could say that had the word basil, but yeah, it's okay. I'll work out more diabetic lingo for the next show. Anyway, Donna, thank you so much for helping us out. United Hospital System.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Dobie.
I don't think she still knows how to take us, but we'll get her in our world here pretty soon. She's doing great. She's our credibility. Thank you, Donna.
Yeah, you saw by the face. Yeah.
Please email us, mark@thediabeticshow.com or Dobie, and we will hopefully be back next time to inform you more.
That sounds good. We'll take it here. And thank you very much for listening. See you next time. The Diabetic Show.
Support comes from Gateway Technical College. Are you creative? Got a flair for home decorating? Channel your skills into an exciting and diverse career with an associate's degree in interior design. Turn concepts into reality through hands-on learning, seminars, and internships. Information at gtc.edu/programs.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Mavra's Greek olive oil, made from olives harvested from generations-old trees in Greece, giving the product a buttery, flowery, and peppery taste. The market is open Saturdays from 9 to 1 at the Rhodey.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the BMO Harris Noon Concert Series continues Friday, March 4th at UW Parkside's Bedford Concert Hall with the Berea College Choir from Kentucky. The concerts are free and open to the public.
'24/7 jazz on WGTD HD2. Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more, airing right now on HD2. For more information, go to WGTD.org or dial 564-3030.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello. My name is Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters from WGTD Public Radio. Today's panel features four area teachers who are also military veterans. One of them is a former